Golf Smarter number 90 for September 4, 2007.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Bob Hickam, director of golf for the Tahoe Mountain Club.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, we tap the minds of PGA and USGA course pros, architects, authors, and teaching gurus to provide you with tips, drills, insights, and advice so that you can lower your scores. Golf Smarter is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf, golf's most trusted retailer since 1968. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome, and thanks for taking time to listen to the Golf Smarter podcast. Our goal here is to provide you with quality information that will help lower your scores, will answer your questions, and hopefully entertain you along the way. I'd like to give a shout-out today to John Sternick, who plays at Lee's Hill Golf Course in Fredericksburg, Virginia, along with his buddies Craig, Patrick, and Rich, who are all Golf Smarter listeners. Thanks for listening, guys. Please send me the names of your playing partners and where you play. I'd be happy to open the show with a greeting to you. Now, I know that women are listeners, and I know that women own iPods, so why aren't you sending me your names, too? You got to have playing partners that listen to the show. Just click on the Hey Fred button at GolfSmarterPodcast.com and let me know who you are, who your friends are, and where you play. On today's show, Kenny Nicholson of Edwin Watts Golf will answer your questions on putters, putter heads, putter lengths, and more. Our guest today is Bob Hickam, director of golf for the Tahoe Mountain Club in Truckee, California. Now, Truckee is located just north of Lake Tahoe, right off of Highway 80 that goes between Sacramento and Reno. Tahoe Mountain Club manages three beautiful courses there: Coyote Moon, their private course, Gray's Crossing, which is brand new, and Old Greenwood, which was designed by Jack Nicklaus. Bob's going to talk about the nuances of a Nicklaus-designed course, playing at 6,000 feet, and the impact of morning frost that causes course delays. Welcome, Bob.
Oh, good morning, Fred. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. Winter, summertime up in the mountains there, you tend to get frost delays, or does that generally not happen? How are mornings treating you guys up there in the mountains?
Well, as you know, I kind of relate it to a golfer that shows up at 10 o'clock and it's 65 degrees, a beautiful day. Can't believe that this morning, late August or mid-August, that, you know, actually at 6:30 or 6 o'clock this morning, it was, you know, kind of dipping down into the high 30s. And we did have a little delay this morning, a little unusual for this time in, say, mid-August. But, yeah, part of golf at 6,000 feet, we call it.
Yeah, okay, so that answers that question. You're at 6,000 feet. What determines... or how do you determine, you know what, it's a little too cold to play? Is it a safety issue? Is it the agronomics? What makes you decide, let's not open the course yet?
You know, it could be a comfort issue, but, you know, a bright sunny day and 37 degrees actually feels pretty nice, and that's what it was this morning. It's, you know, an agronomic issue. It's frost on the tip of the blade, prohibiting... Essentially, not necessarily the golfers getting out there and stepping on a blade of grass or down the fairway, but actually the mowers getting out ahead of play and doing some damage. And, you know, in when it's 37 degrees, it's more cosmetic to the tip of the blade, but certainly cosmetics are, you know, a part of what we, you know, try to, you know, protect or ensure, you know, the beautiful look that certainly typical of our golf courses up here.
And it really is, when I read reviews of golf courses or read somebody's blog or, you know, the best courses to play, they really seem to put more emphasis on the scenery of the course and around the course than they do on playability sometimes. You get that sense?
You know, I think I do, and I certainly would understand if you have some choices, and we all do have choices, you know, one thing that certainly would compel someone to come to Tahoe wouldn't necessarily be, you know, from the agronomic standpoint or the condition of the golf course with all the beautiful surroundings. I certainly agree with you there, Fred, that, boy, my pick would be, you know, the trees, the beautiful lakes, you know, certainly the rocks and everything, rock outcroppings that Coyote Moon that really make that spectacular, you know, beautiful golf setting, you know, make it unique. So, yeah, I think a lot of people, they pick they pick for the surroundings and the long views, and you know, certainly not just the condition of the golf course.
Well, the views you have at Old Greenwood are absolutely spectacular, and I just I love walking through your course, even if I'm a cart or not. But I know that the time that I played it, I was walking through the course. I was playing the course going, my wife doesn't play golf, but boy, would she love to play here if she played, because it's just so beautiful. She's a hiker, you know, and it's just such a beautiful course. Let's give people a perspective of where what courses you have, but also where it is in relationship to California, Nevada, Tahoe, Reno, that area.
Sure. You know, for those that are familiar with Truckee, California, it's situated right off Highway 80, very convenient, you know, to the highway there. And, you know, certainly it's, you know, kind of seen as halfway between Sacramento and Reno. Again, up in the mountains at 6,000 feet, beautiful, beautiful location here in Northern California.
And you've got three courses, if I'm correct, in the Tahoe Mountain Club?
Exactly. Part of Tahoe Mountain Club, which are actually four distinct communities, Old Greenwood, Gray's Crossing being the golf communities, and also two communities within the village at North Star are three golf courses. And we look at two of them as being public or more, I'd say, resort, Coyote Moon and Old Greenwood. And then we just opened June 1st the new Jacobson Hardy design called Gray's Crossing, which is a traditional private club.
Okay. And Old Greenwood was designed by?
Jack Nicklaus, none other than, and did just a fabulous job with
really
a beautiful
did.
Piece of land here.
He really did. And here's the thing that blew me away. I generally shoot into the mid to upper 80s, right? When I totaled my scorecard at the end of Old Greenwood and saw that I didn't even break 100, and wasn't furious about it. I just couldn't believe it. It was like, I really shot that many shots today? I couldn't believe it. But I just was, it wasn't just enjoying the view. I just didn't think I was playing that poorly, but it just ate me alive. I found it.
Oh, 100. Come on, Fred.
I know. I could. And here's what's crazy, is the guy that I was playing with, who we had just met, we were in the cart together, it was just a twosome, he shoots in the mid to low 80s, and he shot a 98.
Well, I would say, you know, I'm not sure what tees you picked, but...
I was from the two, he was from the three.
Yeah, there's you know, a lot of variety in terms of tees, and certainly important, especially when you're playing a course for the first time, pick that right set of tees.
Do you find that to be a common mistake, that people pick the wrong tees?
We try to help them, you know, but we try to... point out the idea you're out here to enjoy your golf round today, and let us help you do that by picking the right set of tees. But on the other hand, they've come to a Nicklaus signature golf course in Tahoe, laid down a little bit of money there, and you know, they want to get the experience, you know, that kind of goes with that. So a lot of times we find people want to stretch it out a little bit more than their game might you know, dictate or lend. So
it's a great challenge. I mean, I wasn't angry or frustrated. I just had a wonderful time, and I would love to go back again, because, like, I know I can do better than that.
Come on back, Fred.
Yeah. We're bringing everyone with us this time.
It's very good.
Large group. Walk me through a couple of holes at Old Greenwood. Let's pick what you feel is the your favorite hole at Old Greenwood. Walk me through a T-tour from T to Green on that.
Boy, you know, there's so many, Fred, and, you know, there's wonderful, wonderful, you know, short par fours, number 8 and number 11. Those are a couple of my favorite holes. In other words, Mr. Nicklaus gave, you know, there's just a wonderful blend of holes, and, you know, which develops a rhythm out there. In other words, not every hole beats you right over the head. We open with a downhill, beautiful par 4 first hole, which is quite a bit of challenge, and then, you know, wide fairway on the second hole, and it just moves beautifully throughout. And I guess what I'm getting at, Fred, is I really don't have a favorite hole out there. They're all just spectacular, and the collection of holes just adds up to a great, great golf experience.
Mm-hmm. It really does. Interestingly enough, about mountain golf, you're at 6,000 feet. I received a letter from one of our listeners, Rich Fisher in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I thought I'd save this letter for you because it seemed kind of perfect. He said, what is the best way to estimate hole elevation change? For example, if you're at the bottom of a hill hitting 150 yards away, hitting to a green that's 90 feet above, where are you actually hitting from? My guess is that playing an extra 15 yards, or is it only 10 yards? How can I figure this out? What is there a formula for that?
You know, that's a very good question, and I don't know that I've ever seen a second shot that goes up 95 feet. But, you know, and I kind of equate that to how a caddy walks, talks through that sort of decision with, say, a player. And, you know, I don't think scientifically anyone's put an answer to that. It's almost kind of the same feeling in terms of one club plus. In other words, the gentleman is talking about playing uphill. That sounds like a three club up.
Okay.
But it also is that, you know, very, say, unscientific, you know, answer derived from, you know, 15, 25 mile an hour wind. So it's almost, to me, it's more just feel.
Well, if you're at 6,000 feet and we generally come from, say, if we come from the San Francisco area, you're at sea level, what can I expect as far as distance added with which clubs? I mean, is it just my short clubs that are going to be adding distance because I'm up at 6,000 feet, or is it even on my drive it's going to go an extra distance?
You know, and going back years and playing in Tahoe, and it's always, to me, at 6,000 feet, and this was goes back years ago at Edgewood, we always heard 10%. And I don't know who threw that out there. but in this area, it's 10%. And then Mr. Nicklaus came along, and part of his grand opening and speaking to the folks that had come out to watch, it was 12%. So somewhere in there. But I've always thought, you know, certainly only if the ball's in the air.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, in other words, a good portion of, say, a drive is going to be bounced along the ground if you're playing a pitch or a pitch and run or a bounce onto the green. But certainly a 9-iron that's pure carry, you know, particularly your irons, which you are kind of playing more to a land and stop kind of thing, 10%'s the rule.
Hmm.
And again, I it's one of those things where I – playing, and I just went and played in an event down at sea level in Sonoma, and I don't do the math. It's just a quick sensation feeling you get when you come to Tahoe, and I know people, I wouldn't say struggle with the idea, but it's a little bit of a challenge, and I kind of try to get them to ease into the idea that you're gonna feel the difference after a hole or two. Certainly you've got to put it in your thought process, but not necessarily overthink it once you've played a few holes. And just like playing into the wind, you just sense and feel that there's a difference there.
Hmm. And your three courses, you're saying that the Gray's Crossing just opened in June.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two courses, how old are they?
Coyote Moon, I think we're in our eighth season. Old Greenwood opened September of 04, so this is essentially our third full season, 05, 06, 07. So generally all new golf, and plenty of new golf here in just the Truckee area.
Well, yeah, that's where I was leading to in the truck. Truckee is how far from Tahoe?
Essentially Lake Tahoe, it's, you know, 10 or 15 miles, but certainly part of Tahoe.
Right.
Truckee is, yeah.
Right. So, and there's a lot of golf coming into the area, isn't there?
You know, in addition to Gray's Crossing, behind it, let's say, opening in 08 are two private clubs right in the Martis Valley. Anyone familiar with the Lahontan Golf Club, there are two other private clubs going in that general vicinity there.
And Tahoe has a number of their own courses right around the lake.
They do, and that's one place where you haven't seen any new building and golf courses, and you probably won't. Certainly a different...
So Truckee's the next stop for more courses.
I think it'll be a number of years before you see new courses beyond the new Martis Camp and the new Timalik private clubs, which, again, are, you know, set and due to open in 08 or next summer.
And Truckee Golf and Tahoe Golf in general, it's not 12 months a year, is it?
No. just for example, at Old Greenwood, we don't set a firm opening date. In other words, if there were a chance to do it and conditions were right and we prepared the golf course, we'd open as early as May 1st. We haven't done that yet in the three tries or three seasons, but we do set a closing date of the third week or so in October. So it's essentially just a five-month season.
Hmm. And more private courses are going in too. But so you're getting more people with their second and third homes. Is that what it is? Or
I think it's a mix. Uh-huh. That's certainly a big segment. Yeah, people that have always or spent some time here in the summer and have chosen to make more of a commitment and spend more time and build that second home up here, third home. Yeah, exactly.
What kind of touches did Nicholas put on the course that are so typically what you would consider a typical Nicholas or a unique to Nicholas design?
Well, certainly the strategy of the shots. I think kind of going with or consistent with, someone that, maybe a better player, you certainly have to find and study a little bit, entries into holes, where to leave both your drive and, say, your shot into the green if it weren't perfectly struck. That's always a part, I think a great part of a Nicholas golf course, are the strategy of the holes and how to play them and where to leave it if you happen to miss what side of the hole. Don't get stuck short-sighted. But I think, beyond there, I think there's 30 years of Nicholas design, and I think he's hit the absolute best part of his career. Mayakama down in the Sonoma area, and Old Greenwood, I think, are as good as he's done, anywhere. And so some of the things that were very typical in Nicholas you don't necessarily find here, and that's, a bunch of elevated greens perched high above, very deep, hard to play out of bunkers. I think he's developed more chipping areas. In other words, if you do miss to the proper side of the hole, there's a lot of nice little areas which to chip back to the pin as opposed to flop over, play out of rough, that sort of thing. So I don't know if you agree, having played here this last week, if you say notice that, a little bit more variety in terms of, and a little more reaching out, say, to the average player and lends to, I would say an enjoyable experience versus a struggle.
I didn't feel like I was struggling. I was really enjoying the round. I was just shocked to see the number when I totaled it up at the end of the day.
Well, so maybe you added wrong.
There you go. I shot a 91.
There you go.
It's definitely a destination area and destination golf. It's a place you want to plan a vacation to. And the whole family can go, and you can go out and have a day of golf on your own if your family doesn't play, because there's so much to do for everybody there. It's absolutely fabulous. You mentioned Mayakama, another Nicholas design, and that's a private course in Sonoma. A friend of mine was one of the first members that joined Mayakama, and he joined up well before they opened up, so he was able to get a reasonable price on it. And he told the head pro one day, he said, I need to ask one favor if I'm going to become one of your early members. And the guy said, sure, what would you like? He said, I want to have the very first round. I want to be the first one to tee off. And the general manager looked at him like, well, why would you want to do that? And he said, because I want to hold the course record. Even for a minute. If it's only for a minute, he wants to hold the course record.
Right. And did he?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Wonderful.
He's a good player, and he's a lot of fun to be with, obviously. Did you get to work with Jack at all on the design of the courses or be with him while he was doing the design?
I was fortunate to come in at a time where there were a couple of visits left, which are part of his, design process or the cycle of development. I was very fortunate to ride around the last couple visits with him, and then work more closely with him for the inaugural round, we called it, with Mr. Nicklaus. So certainly times I cherish and look back upon, just to spend some time with certainly one of the all-time greats was fabulous.
Oh, yeah. Any great stories that you can remember or relate to us about being there, or any nuggets that you walked away with going, oh, my God, I never even thought of that?
Well, I can tell you a couple things.
Please.
One of the great holes out here is the 14th hole. You drive to, it's certainly not a drastic downhill hole, but you hit to a little bit of a plateau and you can't see the green. Play your second shot, again, a little bit downhill, water on the right, green moving left to right and a little bit down even. And as part of his last visit, he added a whole new pin spot that couldn't have been any more difficult, couldn't have been any more set up for his left to right shot into a green. So a back right pin over water kind of his last, I'd say, touch to the golf course. And it is a fun shot to hit.
I remember it. You have a great online, you have a great description of the holes, and you can get to them quickly. And so as you're describing it, I'm looking at it. Go to TahoeMountainClub.com or OldGreenwood.com, right?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you can look at the holes. So please continue your description, but I'm remembering the hole. And I remember while I was playing this, I said, golf smarter. Don't be aggressive here. Play it smart. Save some shots. And I did. So go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish your story.
Which I think, you have a good point there, Fred. And even if it were to be that back right pin placement, you're able to. And I think this is the nicer, kindler Mr. Jack Nicklaus, in that you can play your shot to the middle of that green and actually will move to the right. The slope will take it a little bit to the right. So even though the pin's way back right, you can get a little bit of a, nice movement back to that pin. Mm-hmm. If you challenge it, not necessarily right at the flag, but, kind of safely to the left.
So if somebody wanted to make a tee time, let's talk about the best way to do it. Where do they call? Can they do it online? Give us some tips on that, please.
Both. Certainly can do it online at oldgreenwood.com. There is a way to get to an icon that says book a tee time. And otherwise, dial our number here to the Old Greenwood Golf Shop at 530-550-7010. We take tee times up to 30 days in advance, and there's plenty of time and great Tahoe golf left in this season. And actually, as the season goes on and past Labor Day, some of the colors of fall, actually my favorite time out here, to be sure, and a crisp, cool mornings and beautiful, beautiful afternoons.
And we didn't spend a lot of time talking about Coyote Moon, which is also, it's a very different course. I mean, they play very differently, don't they?
Well, certainly just, 5 or 6 miles away, but keeping in mind Coyote Moon is a little bit more above Truckee, and I wouldn't say they couldn't be more, night and day, but Coyote Moon is, I think, really typifies mountain golf. There's more elevation change. There's great dramatic rock outcroppings with greens situated and kind of pushed back into them. And I think one of the highlights of Coyote Moon, it's without a home on it, and it is just serene, beautiful Sierra Gulf at its best, at its finest. And talk about colors, predominant throughout. A lot of the holes are aspens and tall grasses. And, that, again, once we get to fall or get a couple more weeks into the season, the color really highlights the beauty of that golf course.
So true. Friends of mine that we stayed with when we were up there live in Tahoe Donner. And so it's right around the corner from their place. So I've played there early in my golf career, which has not been going on for, decades. And I found it to be a lot like Target Golf.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, my game wasn't there. So another frustrating time that I want to get back to. And what's the online and booking for Coyote Moon?
Sky to Moon is skytomoongolf.com, and you should be able to find your way through the pages there and find the icon of book and online golf time.
Great.
And actually, the same number for Old Greenwood, you can also book the tee times, or a Coyote Moon number is 530-587-0886.
All right. Well, if anybody is going to be going out to either to the Truckee area or Lake Tahoe, you should definitely try to play golf at either Old Greenwood or Coyote Moon. Oldgreenwood.com, coyotemoongolf.com. And make sure that you tell them that you heard about it on the Golf Smarter podcast. They're going to want to know that. I'm going to want you to tell them that. See, he's laughing. He doesn't think you're going to call.
Please call.
Please call.
And I would love to add, we specialize in a lot of things, but one of them being great customer service and golf service.
Absolutely.
But I would say we appreciate getting groups of people together, and we love to take great care, whether it's a corporate outing or a group of couples or guys coming up enjoying Tahoe, everything it has to offer, and we take group reservations up to a year in advance.
You know, I'll tell you about your customer service and how good it is. I did feel well taken care of, and at one point, we're driving our cart, and here comes the marshal. And it's like, oh, God, here comes the marshal. He's coming right to us. So, you know, it's like, what I do wrong, right? So I look at it, it's like, okay, what happened? And he goes, would you like some water? And I was like, wow, I love you.
And by the way, could you pick it up a little? No, I'm kidding.
No, he didn't. Well, you know, we were a twosome. There was a foursome in front of us and a foursome behind us. So we were kind of, there wasn't a whole lot we can do. But they did move us up ahead because, you know, some people didn't show up. So they took care of us. They were like, oh, wait, you know what? You guys can go earlier if you'd like. So they really did try to take care of us. And I really appreciated that. It was very nice. Good people you have working there.
Well, it's just a wonderful place, and that's, you know, we're in the golf business, and I think we're in it to enjoy it, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think you guys specialize in beauty. I mean, it's breathtaking up there, and the air is so fabulous, and if, you know, on a beautiful day, no wind, it was spectacular. So
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Please come back.
Okay. Bob, thanks so much for spending the time. I know you're incredibly busy, and I appreciate you making the time to do this. I've been trying to talk to you on the show for a while, and I'm glad that you were able to make some time for it. Thank you.
Well, I enjoyed it. And again, please give us a call. Come up. And all of you out there listening, we'd love to have you come visit our facilities.
It's time to ask Kenny. Do you have a question about specific golf gear or are baffled about what to look for in a category of golf products? Well, do you, huh? Kenny Nicholson, our technical specialist at Edwin Watts Golf, would like to help. And if we use your question on the show, you will receive a free Edwin Watts Golf hat with the Golf Smarter logo. To submit your question, go to golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the button that's labeled Ask Kenny. Ask Kenny is brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf and edwinwattsgolf.com, golf's most trusted retailer since 1968. Kenny, have you been there since 1968?
No, I've been alive since 68.
Barely. You young sprout.
Oh, I wish.
You wish what?
I wish I was young. I just celebrated my 39th birthday.
Well, happy birthday, my friend. Oh, yeah. How swell was that? Did you have a good time?
I did. I had a great time. I had a real good time. Got to spend it with my girls.
There you go.
And just took the day off and had a great time with them.
Oh, the boss let you have the day off for your birthday. Is that a regular occurrence? You said, I'm out of here.
I came in for a little while, and then I said, hey, I'm out of here.
You're so dedicated. Because you had to answer the Ask Kenny questions.
You had tongue to twister. Answer.
That's right. Say that fast three times. Ask Kenny questions.
You're better than me.
Well, I've been working on it. And I'm about to ask you some questions. We received a bunch this week. And the first one comes from Sam Rupp, who's a regular question asker and actually content submitter. Sam has asked me to, he's turned me on to various people to interview, and they've been on the show. So, all the way from Iowa. Thank you, Sam. We appreciate it. He said that with all the talk that we've done about MOI on drivers and whatnot, he's hearing more and more about MOI in putters. Now, you're not striking the ball as hard with a putter as with a driver or even with irons. So, is MOI really that big a deal in putters?
You would be surprised. MOI has been around for such a long time. in putter technology. If you go, I mean, you can go all the way back into the 50s and 60s.
A good example
would be like Ping's Answer putter when it first came out. And if you can visualize the concept, it's traditional blade-style putter, but it has a little more weight on the heel and a little more weight on the toe of the golf club. And what that is MOI. It's helping it to increase the MOI. So at impact, there is less twisting. I forget who won a couple weeks ago on the PGA Tour, but he said the one thing that he did, as a matter of fact, he didn't win. I think he finished second. But he was talking about a tip that he had gotten from Crenshaw that said, hey, I want you to hold the putter with just enough strength in your hands to be able to, you know, take the putter back and come through the impact zone. And do not grip it any tighter than that. So with using a lot less pressure on the hands, obviously if you mishit the ball towards the heel or the toe, there is going to be twisting at impact. So MOI is very, very important. You'd be surprised. You think that the stroke is a lot less shorter than that of an iron or a driver. But how many times you hit off center with a putter. I mean, you can put some impact tape on there and take a try and see how it works for you. I consider myself a real good putter, and when I do it, I'm shocked. I'm like, man, you got to be kidding me. You know, you would think that it would be no problem to hit it dead center every time because you're taking a very short stroke, but you would be surprised. But moment of inertia is really a buzzword now because they're using the technology so much in irons and drivers that's the buzzword that's going on right now. They want to be able to increase moment of inertia. Well, putters, it's been around for an awful long time. We had a conversation with Scotty Cameron and Frank Thomas on the Golf Better podcast, and that was one of the questions that I alluded to as well. You know, I wanted to talk to them, the putter engineers, the guys that make the product, and say, hey, you know, are we going to see more as far as moment of inertia in putters? And Scotty's response was, man, it's been around forever. Where have you been? You know, so yeah, MOI is definitely something that's been around in putters for an awful long time. And there's certain putters that offer different gram weights that go inside the putter to give it a little bit heavier feel or lighter feel. But TaylorMade's Rosa Enza putter is one of them where you can actually adjust the heel and toe weight on the putter.
And please check out the Golf Better podcast at Edwin Watts Golf. You can find it in iTunes, or you go to golfbetterpodcast.com. And that was an amazing conversation with Frank Thomas and Scotty Cameron. And that was episodes 2 and 3. And episodes 3 and 4, of course, we talked about hybrid clubs. So if you want to learn more about that, we were with John K. Solheim, who's the vice president of engineering for Ping. Yeah. And the first show on drivers. And hopefully by the time that you're hearing this, we hope the next episode of Golf Better is going to be on, and we're going to be talking about balls. Because we get questions about balls.
We get a lot of questions on golf balls.
Yeah, so hopefully this will be a great education for you. So we're recording this a week early, and hopefully this show will be done by that point. Yeah, Kenny, in talking about the putters, I did notice watching KJ Choi recently that his putter grip is as thick as a butt of a baseball bat. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, it's a jumbo grip is what it is.
What's up with that?
It's what feels comfortable to you. You know, I use what I would consider a mid-size putter grip. I mean, I have big hands, but what you want is something that feels real comfortable to you. If the grip is real small, typically what you find is somebody might have a little more movement in their hands. You know, but some people, you know, a real big putter grip like KJ Choi uses is extremely uncomfortable, and you don't get as much feel with it. So putter grips are very important. I mean, as far as texture and feel and design and size.
When you say you don't get as much feel from it, is that because you're not feeling, because the grip is so thick and so padded that you're not feeling the ball striking against the face?
Yeah, well, typically what you do is you grip more of the grip in your whole hand and not just in your fingertips. I think you have a little more feeling inside your fingertips than you do in the palm of your hand. So what, you know, the way I like to grip the putter is in my fingertips more or less, and just with a real light grip, and I can, you know, whether I miss hit it or what have you, I have a lot of feel to know exactly what I did wrong. With a thick putter grip, I don't get as much feel. Now, everybody's a little bit different, but me personally, I don't get as much feel with a thick putter grip.
I've never even seen
one. And I've tried it.
Yeah, I've never even seen them. I'm kind of like, well, you know what? Maybe I did. I saw it at the PGA show.
No. Yeah, Tiger Shark makes one that we sell a lot of.
Really?
Yeah, we sure do.
Interesting.
You can get it in a multitude of colors and what have you, but we sell a lot of their – it's a very jumbo-sized putter grip.
Well, continuing on the putter conversation, we got a question here from Glenn Blankenship, who writes from Birmingham, Alabama. He wants to know, what are the pros and cons about the long putter, like the one used by Sergio or other PGA and Champion Tour players?
He's right there in the heart of Edwin Watts Golf there in Birmingham.
Hey, go visit.
How about that?
Yeah.
Long putters, what you typically find is there's less movement. Yeah, I mean, it's Frank Thomas was a big fan of the long putter just because, you know, the end of the putter is basically stabilized, whether you're using a belly putter or a long putter, so you're not moving that portion of the golf club. And anytime there's less movement, you tend to be more accurate. Me personally, I couldn't putt with one at all. The reason is short putts are great, but it's really hard for me to be able to judge long putts with a long putter with speed and stuff like that. So, but somebody that has the dreaded yips or what have you,
yep.
They say that a long putter is or a belly putter is really, really good for that.
Yep.
If they were that much better than the other putters, the shorter putters, then you would see that predominantly on tour, and you don't. You don't typically see that predominantly on tour. What you find is somebody that might be struggling with putt and goes to a long putter or a belly putter.
Okay, very good. Well, now that it's officially September and our summer is winding down, I do want to wish all the Golf Smarter listeners, I hope that we were, you know, somewhat helpful this past golf season for you, and that we've helped lower your scores a bit. I'm getting melancholy that our season here on the Northern Hemisphere is coming to a close, but to all our friends down in Australia and Southern Hemisphere who are getting excited about their season starting again, we'll have more information for you that's going to help lower your scores. But here's a question that came from somebody in Mount Gilead or Gilead, Ohio, Thomas Hack. Now, is this a Golf Smarter listener or what? Thomas Hack. And yeah, he says, that is my last name.
What a great name for golf.
Absolutely. Thomas, you're my hero. Well, it's your dad, I guess, would be my hero on that point. But he wanted to know that he's saying he's just started playing after a 10-year layoff. He must have had a little kid. And he's not aware of some of the newest technology in regard to training aids. Is there anything that will help his game during the winter by being indoors? And what about practice nets? What are your feeling about those?
Typically in the wintertime, what you want to find, the speed stick would be great, something we gave away a week or two ago.
Yep.
Something to still be able to do your golf swing. Practice nets are awesome if you have enough room, because you can actually hit balls and your hand-eye coordination stays good, and you're still hitting golf balls. But if you're not able to do that, then just being able to do the golf swing, stay flexible, that's the most important thing throughout the winter months. You know, when you get out there in the spring and you haven't swung a golf club in five or six months, and you get out there and you're all stiff, and as you get older, typically what you find is your rotation gets shorter, your muscles get stiffer and things like that. And with a speed stick or another training aid, you're able to still, you know, do your normal golf swing. When you get out there in the spring, it's not quite as stringent on your body. And again, back to nets, if you have the opportunity that you can put a net in your garage or something like that, absolutely, because you are hitting golf balls. You're still getting that hand-eye coordination that you need. I talk about muscle memory. You're still able to maintain that. But as long as you get, you know, sometime during those winter months, once a week, twice a week, pick up a golf club, hit balls into a net, or use a speed stick or another training aid. And just as long as you get some swings in, that's the most important thing.
I'll tell you, my favorite training aid, and this is an unsolicited testimonial, but are you familiar with the I Gotcha Ready weight?
Yeah, the one that goes on the end of your golf club.
Yeah, well, actually, you move it up and down the shaft of your club with your swings. Have you ever used one of those?
It clamps onto the shaft,
right?
Correct?
Exactly. Have you ever used one of those?
Well, I believe that we do. I have one in my golf bag, actually. I usually swing that. If I don't have time to go to the range, I'll put that on my golf club before I tee off and, you know, swing it 5 or 10 times. And it definitely loosens you up.
Oh, my gosh. I even do it before I get onto the range. What you do is you put this, you clamp this thing onto the center of your shaft, and you swing for 20 seconds. You start easy, but you just swing back and forth for 20 seconds, and then you move it to the near the base of the grip. You swing it for 20 seconds. I mean, it's really a one-minute workout, and then you move it all the way down to the base just over the head of the club, and you swing it again for 20 seconds, and I really feel like I'm loosened up. And, boy, when I take that thing off and swing the club, whee, it just
flies. That'll help increase yardage.
Yeah, it really does. I really like that product a lot. I even bought one.
I have one.
Did you buy it? Huh? Did you? Huh?
No,
come on, Kenny. No, you
didn't. I knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody.
Who works for a retailer that has 60 stores along the southern part of the United
States.
But
we do sell it. You can go to our website or our catalog, and it's something that we do sell. We sell them. They're $29.99, but it's a great aid.
And now I bet you there's no restrictions on this one. If you go to thegolfsmarterpodcast.com, click on the Edwin Watts banner, then go look for your I Got You Ready weight. You'll get 10% off and free shipping. So it's even easier than just going to your local shop. I know it's only $29, but order a box of balls while you're there. You'll get 10% off. You'll get free shipping. It'll be showing up on your doorstep the next day and ready for your next round of golf. That
there
works.
There you go. It's that simple.
That simple. You know what's even more simple is winning stuff on the Golf Smarter podcast. Some people may not agree with that, but all you have to do is enter, and you're eligible to win. And there's not that many people who enter. It's not a lottery here. We're just doing a drawing. And this week we're giving away, actually next week on September 11th, we'll do our drawing for the Bobby Jones Hybrid. And there are how many lofts on that, Kenny?
4 different lofts. You can get different flex, right or left hand.
So it's your choice. Once we select your name, please go to golfsmarterpodcast.com and click on the word contest, which is just below the Edwin Watts Golf banner. And once you're there, fill out your shipping information and the verification code and submit it, and you are entered to win. And we wish you a good luck. We hope that you win, and we hope that you come back and win multiple times. It's always a good thing to do so. Now, once we give that away, Kenny, on next week's program, you're going to, hopefully you'll be able to announce another product that we'll be giving away, but you're going to be you won't be in Florida next week. Is that correct?
I'll be in Portland, Oregon at the Nike campus. I'm looking forward to that.
They're not in Portland.
Some people call it the eighth wonder of the world.
Wait a minute. They're not in Portland. They're near
Portland.
They are? No, they're near Portland. Isn't it? It's Beaverton.
Yeah, they're near Portland.
It's in Beaverton, Oregon.
Yeah, correct. It's
okay.
Near Portland.
Yeah, I think they own Beaverton, Oregon. But
I think they do.
Yeah, it's pretty much they are it. And what are you going to be doing over at Nike?
I'm going out there to just tour their facility, see basically what they call the campus. You know, you got the Mia Hamm building, the Tiger Woods, the Michael Jordan, the Lance Armstrong. Meet some of the inside guys there that we talk to on the phone a lot that you don't get a chance to meet too often. So
maybe we can do an interview with somebody. Can you get someone?
I think I can possibly find somebody.
Oh, that would
be
awesome. Let's see who we can get on, and maybe they'll give something away too. If you can, this wouldn't be good to you. I had the chance to go up there one time years ago. A friend of mine who I had done some work with, he was working in their marketing department, and he was able to allow us. We weren't able to go take the tour, but we got to go shopping in the store.
That's one thing that I'm going to be able to do while I'm out there as well.
Yeah, but you know what? You don't care about shopping. You're a retail guy. No.
I still love to shop.
Okay, good, because this Nike store on the Nike campus is unbelievable. It is so great, and the discounts are remarkable.
That's what everybody says. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, bring an empty suitcase because they're coming home filled with shoes. All right, well, safe travels to you, my friend, and we will talk to you next week. You will be on the Nike campus in Beaverton, Oregon. Hopefully you'll bring someone along we can talk to and learn more about some Nike golf products.
Sounds great, Fred.
Awesome, buddy.
Thanks a bunch.
And thank you, too, Kenny. Thanks again to Bob Hickam of Tahoe Mountain Club. If you want more information, log on to oldgreenwood.com or coyotemoongolf.com. And once again, we want to remind you for the last time, zengolfcruise.com. Come on, you really want to go, don't you? I want to play with you. Let's play golf together in Hawaii. Sign up now. All right, sign up. zengolfcruise.com. We close this week's show with a quote submitted by Matt Fanin of Santa Rosa, California. Matt submitted a number of quotes from a book by Suzanne Wu called On Course for Business. It's a book about doing business on golf courses. Matt recently went to a seminar of Suzanne's at his local course, where after her talk, she sent everyone out to play golf with people they didn't know, which was pretty cool. This quote isn't exactly a golf quote because it's more than 2,400 years old, and it was Plato who once said, "You can discover more about a person in an hour of play than a year of conversation." If you have any questions, comments, quotes, or requests, please click on the Hey Fred button at GolfSmarterPodcast.com.
Here's another radio baseball card.
If you ask me who the greatest baseball player in the history of baseball was, I'd say Babe Ruth. I feel like I've been cheated as a baseball player not being able to see Babe Ruth play the game of baseball. I would have loved to play against Babe Ruth, but if I did, I'd probably be dead now, so maybe I shouldn't say that.
That was Pete Rose, the all-time hit leader in Major League Baseball history, and this is your invitation to subscribe to Radio Baseball Cards, hosted by the late Hall of Famer and network announcer Don Drysdale. Radio Baseball Cards is a series of amazing and sometimes amusing stories recorded in 1987, featuring some of the greatest players of the 20th century. Here's rookie Barry Bonds.
Sometimes I'm a boxer out on the baseball field, you know, and sometimes Eddie Murphy, or some days I'm a Clint Eastwood, you know, just really mad.
My first World Series, I was just a young kid in Chicago, and we played probably the greatest team of all time, the 1932 Yankees.
Also, this being the 60th anniversary of the breaking down of baseball's color barrier, we speak to teammates, opponents, and admirers sharing their favorite memories in celebration of Jackie Robinson. Hall of Fame catcher, the late Roy Campanella.
I can't speak for Jackie, but God knows I know he felt this way. It was a challenge to prove that blacks could play on the field and be gentlemen off of the field.
Collect a piece of baseball history that sounds as fresh today as it did 20 years ago. Subscribe to the premium edition podcast of Radio Baseball Cards at iTunes or at smarterpodcasts.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.